Explain the title of the book, Race Baiter.
The title of the book comes from something that Bill O'Reilly called me on his TV show in 2008. And it's always interesting. I tell people I'm not quite sure why he called me a race baiter, but he did one of his talking points memo segments on this idea that white people can't talk to black people about race anymore because it's just too dangerous and it's too likely they're going to be called racist unfairly. And then he went on to list several people and institutions he felt had unfairly called basically white people racist. And at the end of it, he goes, Eric Deggans is one of the biggest race baiters in the country, writing for the then St. Petersburg Times. And he cited as evidence the fact that I head the National Association of Black Journalists Media Monitoring Committee, which is basically a group of black journalists who just try to call to the group's attention and to the public's attention when there's journalism that's unfair to people of color, that's inaccurate, that passes along stereotypes and racism. And so I told the story to some friends, and I wrote a column for the Huffington Post about it. And a neighbor of mine said, you know, you really should just write a book about how often people call you a race baiter when all you're really trying to do is educate people about stereotypes and prejudice in media. And I was like, wow, that is perfect. So I pulled together a book that really just gathered together over a dozen years of writing about race and media and talk about how they make money. It's actually a money-making strategy for some of these outlets to encourage people to act on their prejudices, to pass along stereotypes, and to be very divisive when it comes to issues of race.
Is there one story in particular you've covered in your experience that just seems to carry more of a racial charge than others? One that sticks out?
I do think that the Trayvon Martin shooting case here in Florida, Sanford, Florida, an unarmed 17-year-old killed while he was walking back to a home where he was staying with his father. People wondered if the fact that the victim was black and the perpetrator was not even made it slower for media outlets to pick up on the story in the first place. So I think this is a perfect example of how race is at the center of a story that has many, many different implications, and it became this international sensation because of it.
I want to ask you about a big story that I don't think was in the book, Casey Anthony.
Yeah.
Some people say we are captivated by stories about white women and white babies. Can you just talk a little about that?
Sure. And, you know, I would say one reason why the Casey Anthony story wasn't in the book is because it had happened a while ago when I started writing it. So Casey Anthony is this young mother. Her daughter was found dead, and it turns out that her daughter had been missing for something like a month, and Casey Anthony had not reported it. Police concluded that she had killed her daughter. So Casey Anthony was eventually acquitted. But the reason the case got so much attention, some people say, is because it was an extreme example of what we call endangered white women syndrome, where the travails and the dangers facing white women who are caught up in either disappearances or murders are covered more extensively than when those same things happen to males or when those same things happen to people of color.
During the RNC, the Republican National Convention here in Tampa in August of 2012, there was an incident with a CNN reporter, a black female reporter for CNN, was the recipient of someone throwing peanuts at her. Can you talk about that?
Sure. She was actually a camera operator, I believe, for CNN. And she was on the floor of the convention, and two people on the floor threw peanuts at her and said, "This is how we feed the animals." And eventually security ejected the two people who did it. Frankly, to me, if the RNC was serious about rooting out racism, they would have found out who those people were and been open about it.
You're an African American, and so am I. And I have to ask what some people might be thinking, which is, are you too sensitive? How do you know they were implying something racial when they said, this is how we feed the animals? How do you know they weren't referring to the media as the animals? And when you say racially charged incidents happen all the time, how do you, as a columnist, decide if there's something really valid there or if you're trying to make a mountain out of a molehill?
I would say, number one, I've spent many years dissecting incidents like this when they happen. And so I sort of have a process that I go through. first you want to find out all the facts that actually happened, and you want to find out why are the reasons why people might think this was a racial incident, and why are the reasons people might think this was not a racial incident. In the case of the peanuts, the only person who had peanuts thrown at them was black. And black people have a history of being stereotyped and ridiculed for some sort of perceived similarity to apes and to animals. One of the problems that you face when you try to talk about race is that people present it as you're a black person, you're influenced by your blackness, but white people are not influenced by their culture. they're the fair arbiters of generic life. And so if you ask me, am I too sensitive, I would say to someone who asked me that question, well, is it possible that you're not sensitive enough?
Your job as a critic is in part to point out what's not working or could be improved. But you talk about the Freedom Riders trip in the book, and it seems like that's one spot that kind of gives you hope. Discuss that a little bit. What gives you hope? Obviously, you're not going to write a book saying everything's great, you know, it's a short book.
Well, you know, that chapter is the last chapter, and it's about talking across race. And so there has to be hope there that we can talk across race, because otherwise, why even bother pointing all this stuff out? And I had the pleasure of retracing some of the path of the Freedom Riders. And it was just an amazing experience to see this multicultural group of students learning this history that often isn't talked about, and also learning how to talk across race with each other. The last chapter talks a lot about techniques for doing that. And so I think there's a lot of hope in the book, because if I didn't feel it was possible to get past all this stuff, I wouldn't have written it.
The book is called Race Baiter. Eric Deggans, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.